Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Evening. If you're wondering, what in the world are you doing here again? Why are you speaking so much? Well, Pastor Spencer got sick last night, so he is on the mend today. He is feeling better than he was yesterday. I'm not sure what it is, but the flu, a cold, pollen, you know these things. It's just that time of year. He's all right, though. He's fine. He'll be okay. He can tough it out. I'm just kidding. Joking. Okay. We are going to be in Psalm 84 tonight. And I would love to do this whole psalm, but y'all saw what happened last week when I tried to do all of the other psalm, and it was about the same number of verses. So, and I'm not asking for another Wednesday. So, we're just going to do as much of this one as we can. And you know what you can do? You just pick up where I left off, and you study it yourself. There we go. Okay, problem solved. Okay, Psalm 84. Let's read verse 1, and then we'll go ahead and jump into the Word. Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Father, we come before you this evening with grateful hearts that we once again get to be in your house. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness that surrounds us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your protection of our country, of our countrymen. God, we just lift them up. We don't want to forsake praying for that. God, I pray your protection over our troops, over Israel. God, I pray over the Iranian citizens who do not want to have the people in control who have been in control, that you would protect them. God, I pray that you would raise up righteous leaders in their nation. I pray that this would be a time of revival in their country, God, that there would come a person who would stand up in strength and in dignity and righteousness and loves Jesus. God, you can do, nothing is impossible for you. So we just pray the impossible over Iran, over Israel. God, we pray your protection and your salvation, and over our troops. God, I pray that you would be with them, guard them, give our leaders wisdom and understanding. And we say thank you for your protection. Thank you for those that are fighting for us. God, that we live in such a time that we have so many troops available, so many people out there fighting for us. God, we just say thank you. And we ask that you would protect them. And we just declare Psalm 91 over them. And I pray tonight that you would be with us in Fort Payne, Alabama, as we listen to your word. May it do something inside of us. May it stir us. May it convict us. May it lead us. May it read us. May it challenge us. Maybe it will cause a new desire inside of us to stir. Whatever it is that we have need of, because you know what everyone in this room needs, God, I pray that we would be open to receiving. Because if we're not open, we can't. But I pray that we would be open vessels with good ground. Holy Spirit, speak through me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 84, verse 1. We're going to just start going with this so we have time to get through as much as possible. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. And as you know, I love going through definitions, so they're going to be popping up everywhere. We're going to start out with the first one, and it's lovely. How lovely is your tabernacle? Lovely means loved, beloved, well-beloved. How loved, how beloved is your tabernacle? Tabernacle means this: residence, habitation, dwelling. So the place where he lives, the place where he dwells, his habitation, his residence, it's a place of love. It's a place of beloved, of well-beloved. So it should never be a place. It's funny that people don't really like praying, because when you think about this in the terms of prayer, it's like, why would you not want to go there? Because how lovely is it? It's lovely. It's a place of love. It's not a place of condemnation. Now, if we're we're walking in the flesh, then yes, there's condemnation. But if we're walking according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so this is a great habitation. It's somewhere that we should long to go to. And then it says, O Lord of hosts. I love that title for the Lord. O Lord of hosts. Because host in Hebrew means mass of persons. Meaning there is so many people that you have with you. I can't even count them. I love the song. It's an old revival song from Brownsville Revival. But it says, can you see that number? No man can number. Riding alongside Jesus. I love that. It gets me every time I start crying. Like I get a tear because when I picture that image of, can you see that number? No man can number riding alongside Jesus Christ, our Lord, coming back, because it's referring to the book of Revelation. And I want to give you some instances in scripture where it's talking about a lot of numbers. And we're not going to the book of Numbers, if you thought I was being clever there. Hebrews 12, I'm just going to read it to you really quickly. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Revelation 7:9. This is referring to, the song refers to the scripture. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the Lamb. 2 Kings 6:16-17. I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but this is when Elisha is surrounded. They keep sending people to get Elisha off his hill, and he keeps striking them down with fire. And he's like, if I am a man of God, then strike them with fire, and then they die. And then they keep coming back doing the same thing. And then finally one guy gets smart, and he's like, hey, have mercy on me, please. Just hear me out. Anyway, so they're surrounded by all these enemies that are coming against them, and his servant's freaking out. And this is what he says, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, of chariots, of fire, all around Elisha. Another example, Elijah's in the cave, and he's like, no, Lord, there's no one else serving you but me. And the Lord's like, I got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. It's like, you ain't all that in a bag of chips. I got a bunch more guys. You just don't even know about them. I got one more for you. And I'm going to turn to this one. 2 Timothy. Oh, he's such a little book. If I can find it. I should have wrote this one down. 2 Timothy. Oh, where are you at, Timothy? Somebody help me out if you get there before me. 2 Timothy 4. I found him. 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me. So why did I read all of these scriptures, and what is even the connection of all of this? To let you know this, he is the Lord of an innumerable amount of people and angels. And we are surrounded by him, by his host. And even when it looks like there is no one, there is a great cloud of witnesses, the book of Hebrews tells us, that are standing with us. And even if we don't even think about that innumerable number that I just said, he said, when all forsook, when it looked like I was standing alone, Christ was standing with me. And how many of you know if Christ is standing with you, you got all you need right there. But he lets us know, hey, I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm the Lord of angel armies. We get so minuscule with the Lord because we don't see it. We're not seeing it with our natural eyes. And we're like, well, this is in front of me, and that's in front of me, and that's happening, and that thing, and that thing. And he's like, just remember, may your eyes be open to see that you are surrounded by a mount of angel armies that you can't even count. You've got a great cloud of witnesses that you don't even know how many of them there are. Verse 2, My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My soul longs, my mind, my will, my emotions. That's everything. And let me just go ahead and throw this out there. Some of us are easier to love the Lord with our mind. It just comes easier. It's not a battle. Some of us, we have to work harder to love him with our emotions. Does that make sense? For some people that are up here, it's easier for them. I'm going to love God with my mind. I'm going to gain more knowledge. I'm going to be more studious. I'm going to rightly divide and all those things. And then some of us are like, yeah, but do you feel it? Right? We're like, but are you feeling that in your heart and in your inmost being? I'm more of the feeler. So I'm like, but is it in your here, in the depths of your being? And then some of us are like, yeah, but are you loving God with your knowledge and your mind? And are you studious and are you studying this out, right? And neither are wrong, because we're supposed to do both. So here's the encouragement. If you're a natural feeler and you love God very easily with your feelings, then I'm going to encourage you to come over here and make sure you're loving God with your mind and you're studying it out and you have theology and you have doctrine and you are rightly dividing the word of truth and you're studying to make sure that you are approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But if you're the opposite and you're already good with that, then you need to come over here and make sure we're loving God with our mind, our will, and our emotions, our inmost being. It's okay to cry before the Lord. It's okay to declare intimate love things to the Lord, because we want to love him with everything. So let's not just do what comes easy to us. That's stretching ourselves, going, okay, I'm going to go a little bit deeper in what's uncomfortable to me. That's growth. That's growing. Okay, so my soul longs, my mind, my will, and my emotions longs. I love this definition in Hebrew. It means to pine after. That's an old saying. You know, they used to say that all the time, like, oh, she's pining for him. To pine after. To want or desire someone or something very much. So my mind, my will, and my emotions, they're pining after. They're longing with great desire for him, for his courts. And then it uses the word faints. And I'm going to give you a secular example, because everyone in the room will understand it. So my soul longs, yes, even faints. Okay, when you think of faints in this term, think of like Elvis. See, everybody knew exactly what I was talking about. Think about the Beatles. Oh, that's what it was like, this great desire of like, oh my goodness, it's Elvis, right? And the church should have jumped on and be like, no, we need to be fainting for the Lord. I mean, we do faint for the Lord. I mean, I love being slain in the spirit. It's awesome. It's one of the best feelings. But I mean, like, just like you are overwhelmed with desire. And not, it's, remember, it's our soul. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. Because if we will live this way, because, you know, a lot of times we're battling our will. Like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. He who knows to do right and doesn't do it, it's sin. But I want to do what I want to do, right? I want to say, you said that. My will wants to say this back to you. But if our will was doing this for Jesus, our battles would probably get smaller. I'm not saying they're going to go away, because you're still going to have something every single day that you have to fight against, whether that's your homeschooling and you're struggling with your 6-year-old daughter and she will not just write. Why are you not writing? I just said, what is 1 + 0? All you have to do is write the answer down. It's just grab the pencil, right? You're going to have something. Okay, I'm giving my example. Don't judge. Some days in homeschooling are harder than others. I'm sure you have things like that in your life. If not, hey, confession is good for the soul. It means you get healed. So I'm getting healed right now. Anyway, let's pine after. Let's faint for what? For the courts of the Lord. The problem is we read this, but we don't do this. We just skim over it like, oh yeah, I need to long and even faint for the courts of the Lord. Are we fainting? Are we having this pining after of like, I cannot wait to get back in the house of God? If we're not, it may be our own problem of what are we putting out while we're there?
Because a lot of times we'll come in and I'm not getting anything. What are you giving? We should come to give in the house of the Lord. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about yourself. If we will give ourselves continually, every time we come into this sanctuary, we're going to be getting because that's how he set it up. If we will just come, Lord, I'm a sacrifice every single time I'm on the altar. Here I am again. Why? Because where are you? I want to find you. I want to encounter you. I want to go deeper with you because you told me to, right? So I faint after, like, oh my goodness, you're so amazing. I cannot even contain it. I'm about to pass out. That is how good God is, y'all. And I want us to walk in that intimacy. I want to walk in it every day of like, you are literally so amazing. I'm just about to go right now. Caleb, you better come catch me. I'm joking, but I'm also being serious because that's what it says is my soul. Literally, it wants to faint for the courts of the Lord. I want to go to Revelation 1:17 really quickly. Because this is a New Testament example of fainting. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. So Jesus is there. And he's like, it's okay. I'm the first and the last. So he's just overwhelmed with who Jesus is. So what am I fainting? What am I longing for? The courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My heart, my feelings, my inmost being. We have a high priest. I love this. It's in Hebrews as well, and I didn't write it down. But we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, some people are like, you know, like Jesus is hard or something. No, he ever lives to make intercession for us according to the will of God. And he can be touched with what we're going through. That's what it says. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But it says my heart and my flesh. Flesh literally just means body, okay? So my flesh, my heart and my body cry out for the living God. Oh, that we would have that kind of depth. That our flesh, literally our body, would cry out for him. Not for our selfish desires. Because typically our body is leading us into a selfish desire. But that we would have such a longing, not just in our mind and in our heart, but even in our body to go, I can't wait to get in before the presence of God. Like everything, all of my desires, not just inwardly, but even my body wants to be with him. Because Galatians teaches us those that are Christ, they've crucified the flesh, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh is after the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's not pretend like we're really dying to ourselves if we're not. Right? Every day you're supposed to die to yourself. I don't know maybe you didn't know that, but Paul said, I die daily. We're constantly to die to our desires, our wishes, what we think, our opinion, and live to Christ. So let's continue. My heart and my flesh cries. This means to creak or emit a stridulous sound, to shout for joy, to rejoice. So here's what I'm going to bring all that together. I'm crying out, my flesh, my emotions are crying out and rejoicing for the living God. But I feel like we've condensed rejoicing to circumstantial. We know better. We would say better, like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, rejoicing is not circumstantial. But then we end up only rejoicing when good things happen. But he's saying, no, I want you to get this. My rejoicing isn't in all of these other things. My rejoicing is in the fact that I'm getting to come before the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they're rejoicing for the living God. That is it. If we would live that way, then all the other things would be what they say, the icing on the cake and not the main thing. But when we don't get the icing, then we get mad, then we're depressed, then we're anxious because our rejoicing has been misplaced. Everything. It's so simple that sometimes you're like, can I even preach a different message? Not really. Because everything boils back to, if we will keep him the main thing about everything, then nothing gets displaced. But because we're living sacrifices, we displace things. And then we're like, well, once this happens, I'll rejoice. Well, once this happens, I'll rejoice. Well, when I get that, I'll rejoice. When I get that, I won't be discouraged anymore. When I get to this, when I get, you get the point. But we need to bring it back in. My heart, my body cries out. It rejoices with such a sound that is like, whoa, where's the sound? The people of God have a sound of rejoicing. I'm crying out for the living God. Jesus told the Pharisees, I love this because he focuses on that, living. He's the God of the living, not the dead. He's not dead. He's alive. And even Spencer preached this on Sunday. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you're mistaken because he's the God of the living, not of the dead. Because when he spoke from the bush, he said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living God. Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. So he is alive. All right, let's go to verse 3. Whoops, I need to go back to Psalm 84 quickly. Psalm 84, I love this scripture. And it's kind of weird, but it's so good. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, we're going to get a little bit into some birds. We're going to get a little birdie. Sparrow in the Hebrew means hopping. So like a hopping bird. Who did that? That was really good. Brother Dale, I looked at Caleb and then I thought Tommy, like guilty, guilty. Oh, there it is. Okay. Don't get me on rabbits. Then I get distracted. Sparrow, hopping. Swallow means swift. So I put this, whether you're a hopper or you're a swift flyer, he's got somewhere for you to lay the things that you care about. His eye is on the sparrow, the old song said. I want to go to Psalm 124:7 just very quickly because, again, we are talking about birds. And he likens us to birds. Psalm 124:7, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers, which means a trap. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Luke 12:6-7, Matthew, Mark, Luke 12. Sorry, I'm trying to do this with one hand. 12:6-7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Maybe I should have done a sermon on birds, but anyway, maybe another time. Because in Isaiah, it talks about eagles. They that wait on the Lord, they'll mount up like on wings like eagles. You've got eagles, you've got sparrows, you've got swallows, you've got doves, you've got ravens. So lots of birds. Anyway, basics between sparrows and swallows. Listen to this. Swallows are fast in flight. Sparrows are compact, stocky, and rounded. Swallows catch insects in the air, meaning they're in flight. Sparrows forage on the ground. So what's the point? Because this is from the Bible. That's why I'm telling you about swallows and sparrows. What's the point? No matter your looks or ability, the safest place for you to put your cares and what you care about, because remember, she's found somewhere to put what's important to her, where she's going to put her nest, where she's going to put her family. The safest place for you to do that is in the house of God on his altars. Keep in mind, this is something I want you to think about, because I think sometimes the altar, we have a wrong thought towards it. Keep in mind, when you come to the altar, you're not coming to a man or a woman. You're coming to the King. This is his altar. Because remember, they have found somewhere to lay their young, to build their nest. Where? Your altars, oh God. We're coming to him. And you know what I realized today as I was studying this out? It takes a lot of faith to go to the altar. Because we're literally laying something down that's invisible to someone that's invisible. Nothing is seen of what is happening. But we have the faith to come and bow at this altar. Do you see the faith that it takes to do that? See, we're so accustomed to it because that's what we do. We go to the altar. We lay in the altar. We pray. We praise. We come. We respond to a call. That takes so much faith. So I say that as an encouragement, that if you come, realize you're operating in faith. Because you're coming to meet with someone you can't see, believing that he's there answering and responding to you. That made me so excited. Okay, so the swallow has somewhere. The sparrow has found a home, so somewhere to live. The swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed. So first I want to say this. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Because she found somewhere to put her cares, the altars of God. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. What about Hannah in the book of Samuel? She wanted a baby so bad. And so she comes and she's praying and Eli sees her and he's like, you're drunk. And she's like, I'm not drunk like you suppose. I mean, you can't really see anyway. But anyway, you're evil. Anyway, he releases the blessing and she conceives. And so she gives to God. She comes and she gives it to God. She releases it to him. And then not only does God give her Samuel, but he gave her like five more children. So the woman who was once barren is now a mother of many because she came and she brought it to the Lord and he released to her exactly what she was asking. Cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Verse 4. I love this. This one is so good. Blessed are they that, let me read it. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed means, y'all know, happiness. But I love another way the Hebrew put it. How happy. How happy are those that dwell in your house? I'm not going to go deep into dwell because we already did in this exact same Hebrew definition. It's when you sit down in an ambush and quiet. In the presence of God, you marry, you remain. How happy are those who, when they're in a battle, they sit in the presence of God and they wait on him to defeat their enemy. How happy are those who marry the house of God? How happy are those that remain in the house of God? I've seen so many people jump here and jump there and quit church and then come back to church and do all of those things. And what is missing, because they're not planted, their lives are never really happy. If we will do all of these things, it says how happy you will be happy if you marry the house of God, if you marry the presence of God, if you remain. So what am I saying? Don't stop just because you're like nothing's happening. Don't stop because it's boring sometimes. Don't stop because it's like, well, whatever. Because you don't know what's happening when you're in here. That sounds mystical, but sometimes you don't, because sometimes it is just the consistency of the house of God that will break things off of you, that will change wrong mindsets, that all of a sudden you've got a new friend, you've got better fellowship, you've got better communication, all of a sudden you get a raise. All of these things start happening because, again, he's our prosperity, he's our promotion. And so as we are dwelling, he says, how happy is the person that lives in the house of God? Let's have the mindset of, I'm married to this. I am married to the house of God. I'll remain in the house of God. Because if you do, you will be so happy. This is just a promise. And I love this next part. So he says, how happy you will be are those who marry the house of God. They will still be praising you. This is so good. Still praising means to be clear. I don't know about you, but I do not like fuzzy. I don't like confusion. Like, and when you don't give me a direct answer, I'm just like, tell me just give me the answer. I say that to Judah all the time. I'm like, I don't want a bush. Give me the answer. Answer directly. Yes or no. I'm like, you're going everywhere except for the exact answer. Like, I need an X-Acto knife, not 1,000 different things. I'm not saying that to y'all. I'm saying that about my children. I'll be more patient. Anyway, still praising. To be clear, of sound, but usually of color. I love that. Color. To shine. To make a show. To boast. To be clamorously foolish. That's almost like when David danced before the Ark of the Covenant and his wife came out and she was like, how lovely did you look before all those women today? And he's like, I'll be more undignified than this and I'll be humble in my own eyesight. That's what that means. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm praising you because I'm so glad I'm here. I love the Lord. I love his house. How lovely is his tabernacle? To boast, to glory, to praise. Let's boast in the house of God, not in ourselves, right? Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Glory. So they will still be praising you. They'll be clear. They'll be of color. They'll shine. They'll make a show. They'll boast, all of that. So what? Here's another way to look at that. They'll still be praising you. It's like you look at someone 1 year. You're like, they're praising the Lord. You look another 5 years, they're like, they're still praising the Lord. Are they going to stop praising the Lord? Because every time I look at them, I come back and I'm like, there's Pastor Bonnie still 6 years later. She's still praising the Lord. How long is this going to keep going? They're still praising the Lord. They won't quit praising the Lord. And then it says, this all starts with, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. How happy are they? Why? Well, probably because they can't stop praising the Lord. It's like you can't get them down. They're in a bad season, they're praising. They're in a good season, they're praising. It's like, no matter what, they'll still be praising you. I love that because I know people like that, that you're like, I've known you for 13 years. Caleb's sitting in here. I'll use Miss Maggie, his mom, as an example. As long as I've known her and seen her, she's always crying and weeping and bowing at the altar. It's like, she's still praising the Lord. That's like 14 years. I've just been seizing you. Miss Denny is sitting back there. I've known Miss Denny since before I was married. She'd be bowing on the stage with her instrument. Guess what? I just saw her a couple weeks ago at a conference and she was still praising the Lord. They'll still be praising him. How happy are they? Don't give up on praise. Praise will get you through. When you're like, how am I going to even make it through this season? Praise the Lord. And then he says this. Selah. And that just means pause. Think about this. Everything that we just said. I love the Lord. I love his courts. I want to marry his courts. I want to cast everything that's important to me. I want to leave it on his altars, all my possessions, all my family, my ministry, my dreams, my acclamations, my health, my body, my children's health, their future. Everything, I'm bringing it, and I'm laying, it lives here. Because remember, she found a home. She lives here. And she found somewhere for her young to live. The altars of God. And it says, I'll marry it. I'm marrying the courts of the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the courts of the Lord. And they'll still be praising. Now, pause and think about that. Then we go to verse 5, because we can't really pause. We only got like 15 minutes left. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Blessed, again, it means just how happy. How happy is the man whose strength is in you? Strength means this, force, security, strong, strength, boldness, loud might. How happy is the man whose force, whose security, whose strength, whose boldness, whose strong, whose loud, whose might is in you. And I can truly say that if it weren't for scriptures like this, I would never be sitting here. I can truly say that without scriptures like this, I would never have overcame insecurity or anxiety or depression or any of those things because I didn't have any confidence. So I only had one place to find it. Right here. This was all I had. How happy. Because when you put your security all in Him, it doesn't move with the times. It doesn't move if my bank account moves. It doesn't move if people hate me. It doesn't move if people don't like what I say. It doesn't move if people won't talk to me because they're bitter and they're poisonous about me. It doesn't move because people write bad about me on Facebook. It doesn't move when my children are having a bad day and are getting on my last nerve. I'm just kidding. This does not move. If my strength is in Him, if my force, if my boldness, if my might is in Him, it doesn't move if I try to street preach to someone at the gas station or a grocery store and they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. This doesn't move because it's in Him and He doesn't move. I love that. That was one of my favorite things that I realized about the Lord when I was younger, is you're on your throne and you always will be. And no one can move you off of it. And you're good. You're good and you're the one on the throne because it could have been someone bad and someone evil and someone mean and someone perverse and someone unfaithful. But He's not. And He's always going to stay the same. I am the Lord. I change not. So for some of us, this scripture is more challenging than for others. Because for me, it was like, yes, that's what I'm looking for. I was looking for somewhere to put my strength and my force and my dependence at. Thank you for giving me the solution. For other people, it's like, I can do it. I got this. Yeah, I love Jesus, but I got my own strength and my own boldness and my own, you know, loud and might and all of those things. So for some of us, it takes more work because it's harder to humble ourselves and go, Lord, my strength's not in me. And maybe if you're, you know, we're brought up in a really good, healthy home and you've got your own confidence, that might be make it harder, right? Because you've already got confidence. I didn't have any, so it was pretty easy. Like, all I have is you. You know, and on the other hand, you're like, well, I'm good. Like, I can do everything. Like, I don't need anything. Both need it. It's just your everything. The psalmist says, how happy is he who all of those things is not in himself. It's like Marla was singing. I will remain. Well, no. I'm mixing another song. But he says, my confidence is in His faithfulness. Not in what I can do. Not in my abilities. Not in my knowledge. Not in my looks. Not in all of those things. My confidence is simply in the fact that I know He'll be faithful. How happy is he blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Okay, let's keep going. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. I'm going to have to start reading a little faster. Valley in Hebrew means depression. Baca means weeping and mulberry tree. I love this. As they pass through depression, as they pass through the valley, the depression of weeping. Wow. So we're like double depressed now. Mulberry tree. I love this. It says when we go through it. And it's like when God spoke to David and he said, David asked him what to do. And he said, go wait under the mulberry trees until you hear the sound of the wind. When you hear that sound, then you go and that you got the victory, brother. And so I love that because he's saying, when you hear the wind, go and defeat your enemy. So how am I tying that together? When you go through it, when you go through it, being led by the Holy Spirit, Go through the depression. Go through the sad place. Go through the grief. Don't stay there. You were not meant to camp there. It's going to happen. There are going to be sad things that happen. I'm going to a funeral on Sunday to a beloved woman who taught me the Bible. She was such a great Bible teacher, and I'm not going to talk too much about her, but her name was Sister Phillips, and I loved her. She was, you know, when I first started listening to her, she was in her 70s, and she would just connect all these scriptures together. Anyway, she gave me such a great love for digging into the Word, and she went on to be with the Lord. She was in her 90s, so she had a wonderful life. But you're going to go through sad places. You're going to go through grief, but the key is to go through it. As you go through depression, as you go through the weeping, don't stay there. Go through it. But then verse 6 says this, make it a well. Okay, so don't just go through it, but dig something of value for other people. Because a well isn't for one person. A well is for a family, it's for a community, it's for a town, it's for a city. And I love this definition of well. Well means a source of satisfaction, a fountain, wellspring. So he's saying, you're going to pass through this valley of depression and of sadness and of grief, but go through it. And as you're going through it, I want you to make a well. I want you to make a source of satisfaction. I want you to make a fountain, wellsprings for other people, not just for yourself, because it's never just about you. It's always about Him. And then He works in you so that then you can bless others. So even as you're going through the hardship, if we will do what everything preceded said, we're going to go through it and we'll have something to give. If we don't do the first 6 verses, going through the depression is not going to be going through it and we won't have anything to give. But if we will, then as we're going through even our hardest places, he says, you're still going to be able to dig something. This season is not going to be wasted. It's not going to be purposeless. There will be a point, even in the hardship, even in the sadness, even in the grief, even in the depression. There's another Psalms that says, all my springs are in you. Meaning all of my flow, all of my outlets, they're all in you. Verse 6 means this. I'm sorry, verse 6. Let me just read it. They make it a spring or a well. The rain also covers it with pools. The rain means this, the early rain and the teacher. Pools means this, benediction, prosperity, blessing. See, you didn't see that coming. What in the world? What? Are you kidding me? Pools in Hebrew means what? Benediction, prosperity, and blessing. Didn't see that coming. Neither did I. That's why it's so fun, because you never know what it's going to say. The rain fills the pool. So remember, we're going through this valley, this depression of weeping. And he says, what was empty and depressing is now filled with blessing and prosperity and benediction. So he's like, listen, don't lose hope, because as you're passing through, it's like, this is depressing, this is weeping. He's like, but dig a well. And he's like, and then the early rain's going to come and it's going to be a teacher and it's going to show you that there's prosperity, that there's benediction, that there is a blessing. That is so exciting. It's like, don't lose hope. There's good things coming. And not just for you, but for others, because it's always going to have an outreach with it. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. I'm going to stop right there. They go. What does that mean? They are on the move. We're not sitting down. We're not camping out in this depression, in this grief, in this sadness. We are moving. There's movement. We're not stuck. We're not staying in the hard place, the depressed place, but we're going. Going means this, walk, follow, go. And sometimes as you're going through hard places, it is a walk. You want to take off running and get through it as fast as possible. Like, yes, let's put this thing on speed. And he's like, sometimes you just got to walk. Just walk. Just keep taking that step. Just, I'm digging. I'm digging. I'm digging. I might not be digging deeper today, but I'm still digging a little because I'm still moving. I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to stay. Even if all I've got today is, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I love you. I know you'll get me through this. The next day, Lord, I know you got it. You're going to turn this into prosperity. You're going to use this for your glory. You're going to use this to advance your kingdom. This is going to bless someone's life. It's going to be a blessing to my children because I'm not going to stop plowing because they're behind me and I want them to be greater than me. I want them to be able to go further in the kingdom than me. But where am I going? Go where? Through it. From what? From strength to strength. I'm going and it's hard and it's depressing, but I'm plowing and I'm digging a well and then the rain's coming and then it's prosperity and it's blessing and it's benediction. And now I'm going from strength. Where did all this come from? I just kept on moving. And then it says they go from strength to strength. Ooh, go girl. Strength means this, force, means, resources, wealth, army, valor, riches, power, substance. It all looked pretty bleak. It's looking pretty good now. They go from force, means, resources, wealth, army, valor, riches, power, substance to force, means, resources, wealth, army, valor, riches, power, substance. I think that's pretty amazing. You just keep on going through that because you're turning it into something beautiful that someone behind you is going to get to walk through. And then you're going to go from strength to strength, meaning whatever strength you were in, you're going to go to another strength and then to another strength. And we don't have time to go anywhere, but you also go from grace to grace and glory to glory. So it's like, God, can you get any better? Yes, he does, but he's always good. But see, it's just we're not aware of how good he actually is because he's always the same. But we're like, God, you just keep getting better. It's like, no, he actually doesn't. But our understanding and our intimacy of that becomes more real. So let's keep going. I'm about to close up. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. If I could sing, I'd sing Rita Springer right now. It's going to be worth it because all of this journey that we've been walking through this psalm takes us to where they all appear before him in the city of God in Zion. So all of this is to get before the presence of God. And to me, no matter what that journey is that gets me there, it's worth the journey to get to him. Verse 8, we're going to close with this. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. So let's pause again. Take a moment. Realize everything that was just said. Because there's sadness, there's hardship, but there's so much excitement. Because God's just that good. He's like, I want you to know, yeah, you're going to walk through some hard places, but I want you to have some vision while you're walking through that hard place. I want you to do something with it while you're there. And I want you to leave it for others that can then be prospered and blessed from it. And then I want you to keep on going because you're going to go from strength to strength. And while you keep on going, what you're going to do is you're going to end up in my presence because you didn't quit. And so I just want to encourage you. I know we've talked a lot about the house of God, the presence of God, but can I give you anything better? No, because in him is everything. In Christ alone, right? Or Christ is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So if we are pursuing Christ, everything else, it just kind of takes care of itself. Sometimes you may wonder, did I get free from that? It's like, I think I did, but I've been looking at him so long. Maybe I need to see, did I? I can't remember. I guess it's good. Because we're just so pursuing the face of God that he just does the things that we're like, Lord, I need you to do that. Lord, I need you to do that. But then when we get caught up in his face and in his presence, he just does it. And you're like, where'd it go? He just did it. That's why I love his house. Oh, how I love your sanctuary. It is the place where your glory dwells. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you for your word. It is so rich. It is so good. God, we can just read this and look into it, and it is enough. God, it is so good. And the fact that you gave us your word, that we can hold it, that we can read it, that we can put it in our pocket, that we can have it at any time because it's always at our disposal. God, thank you that you didn't leave us orphans, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. And he teaches us how to read the word. He enlightens us. He gives us revelation. God, we just say thank you because you said you have magnified your word above your name. And so tonight, King Jesus, I magnify your word. And I pray that you would make us lovers of the presence of God, of the house of God, of the word of God, that we would truly put everything that we care about, that we would build our home on these altars, the altar of God. In our homes, we would be putting everything that's important to us on those altars, knowing that faithful is he that called us who also will do it. You are faithful and you always will be. We can trust you. And I do pray right now that if anyone under the sound of my voice is walking through grief, depression, or sadness, I pray your strength to go through it. I pray your help. I pray that you would come alongside, Holy Spirit. Give them the words that they need to hear, the scriptures that they need to read, the friend that they need to call on. God, I just ask for an undergirdment for them, that you would strengthen every single one of us by might in our inner man, by the Holy Spirit. Let your word speak to us clearly every day, exactly what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can stand to your feet and raise your hand and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he smile all over you. May he write his name upon you. And I pray that you would go from strength to strength, from grace to grace, and glory to glory. And may you always be a lover of the house and the presence of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope y'all have a wonderful week.